And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to go over the latest on the Orlando Magic, it's my good friend Philip Rawson Reich with Orlando Magic Daily. Philip, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. Let's go over the breaking news we learned on Tuesday. Jamal Mosley, head basketball coach, gets the 4-year extension. What are your thoughts on this story for the Magic?
It absolutely deserved. I mean, if you look at where this team is at today, they're obviously sitting in a pretty good spot in the playoff race. You know, currently fifth in the Eastern Conference, fighting for fourth, you know, fending off teams behind them. But the Magic have far exceeded expectations this year. They've already passed last year's win total. And just the growth year over year and the belief that these guys have in him as their head coach, it just affirms that, you know, he is the guy that should be leading this team right now. And obviously next year would have been a lame duck season if they didn't get an extension done. You can't have coaches in a lame duck season. It's just a distraction. It causes all kinds of problems. Jamal Mosley has done the exact job the Magic asked him to do. And now, just like they asked their players to improve and develop and grow, they're going to ask their coach to lead that growth and development, but grow and develop himself too. And I think that's the right investment for this group right now.
Did you get a chance in the last few days? Like, was there availability with Mosley about this extension?
Yeah, we talked to him. We talked to him Tuesday after practice. And, you know, if there is one way to make Jamal Mosley extremely uncomfortable, it is to ask him about himself and to have him try and talk about himself. Mosley is deferential to a fault. Like, he always praises the players. He always praises his assistant coaching staff. He's all about others. And, you know, he was asked after practice on Tuesday, what is like at the heart of his success and the way and the culture that he's built, as much as he doesn't want to take credit for it. And he said service. You know, our goal is to serve other people, is to be of service to other people. And that kind of selflessness, I think, is really what sets the tone for this entire organization and the entire culture that the Magic have. You know, you see it from the players and how they interact with each other and how they fight and cheer for each other, even if they may not be getting the minutes that they feel like they want. They're all invested in what they're doing. And I think that's a real credit to the guy at the top. I mean, I know he doesn't want to take credit for it, but Jamal Mosley is really the driving force behind a culture of service and teamwork that has led to this team's success.
This team, the Orlando Magic, took on the Hornets about, you know, a week ago or so. And Steve Clifford was the former coach of the Magic. He's now there with the Hornets. Isn't it kind of weird? Because could Clifford still be the coach of this team if he would have bought in with the rebuild?
You know, it's very, very possible. You know, I think if Steve Clifford wanted to be part of a rebuild and go through that process, I think it's very possible that he could be the coach. But, you know, I don't think you can necessarily play those sliding doors. You know, Steve Clifford's a very successful coach. He's done he's at every stop he's been at, he's made his teams better. And obviously he's in a very difficult situation right now in Charlotte with all the injuries that they've had during his tenure, but he got that team to the postseason into the play-in tournament. In the seasons that he's coached there, and this year, like 2021 with the Magic, injuries kind of caught up with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think you can think about it that way. You know, we've seen here in Orlando what a culture building coach, how important a culture building coach is to a development project. You know, no offense to Jacques Vaughn, when he was the head coach after Dwight Howard, it never really felt like he had a clear direction for what he wanted the team to be and never really connected with the players in the way that Jamal Mosley has. Jamal Mosley has been the perfect coach at the perfect time for this Magic team, and they're hoping that he can grow from a coach that develops and builds a culture to one that can lead it to playoff success.
Does Steve Clifford, does he wish he had Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner right now?
I'm sure he does. I definitely, at the end of the day, like, I can talk all I want about how great Jamal Mosley's culture is, and I think that has enhanced this team. But at the end of the day, winning the number one pick, drafting Paolo Banchero, getting Franz Wagner, having the players matters. And look, Steve Clifford would probably say, like, if I had LaMelo Ball, Charlotte would be competitive in the Eastern Conference. And I think he really does believe that having your best players available matters. And so having elite players like Paolo and Franz definitely has helped a lot here in Orlando.
We're here with Philip Rawson Reich, Orlando Magic Daily. All right, I'm going to be cynical at the same time. And I like Jamal Mosley. I like him. I like talking to him. I think he's done a great job. 4-year extension. In NBA terms, who even knows? You see coaches, it's like a revolving door. I don't know what to think when it comes to an extension for basketball coaches now.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's perfectly understandable. I mean, if Jamal Mosley completes next season, which, barring a complete and terrible collapse, he will, Jamal Mosley will be the longest tenured coach in Magic history after four seasons.
Wow.
You know, Stan Van Gundy has the longest tenured coach in Magic history. I think he was four or five seasons with the team. Jamal Mosley is knocking on the door on that. So, you know, we're despite never having gone to the playoffs, we are going to have to talk about Jamal Mosley as being one of the best coaches in Magic history. It's a crazy thing to think about. You know, Doc Rivers was here for three seasons and 10 games, or 11 games. You know, it's coaches are dispensed with very, very quickly, but this is kind of the cost of doing business. You know, I saw a lot of fans, you know, a lot of the kind of same cynical fans, and there are things to criticize about Jamal Mosley, and like so many of the players, there are things we don't know about him as we get ready for the playoffs. You know, being a coach of a team figuring out to win is very different from a coach that is trying to get out of the first round, trying to get to the conference finals, trying to get to the finals. Those are very different coaches, and Jamal Mosley is going to have to evolve and improve in those scenarios and scenarios that he's never been in. So there are plenty of reasons for skepticism that Jamal Mosley will get to the end of this four-year contract. But by the same token, this is the cost of doing business. You got to give the coach some security. You got to signal to the rest of the league that you're willing to pay for stability. And then you just got to let things develop where they're at and how they're going. You certainly hope, and you certainly don't sign a coach with the intention of firing him, but that's also kind of the nature of the league. And so, you know, just like I say this about the players all the time, you got to give them chances to fail and learn and grow. And that's what the Magic are going to do with Jamal Mosley. But the pressure is going to be on this team to, whatever they do this year, to do better than they did this year, next year. It's going to be the first time this team and this organization has faced pressure like that in a very long time.
Okay, here's my example of Jamal Mosley. And this is what I like. So their last game, they're taking on Indiana. They lose this game, and I want to break that down with you. But something got lost in the shuffle. This is the play I liked. Indiana drives to the lane. Jonathan Isaac blocks the shot, but they call a foul. Isaac believes in his heart he blocked that cleanly, and he started doing the circular motion with his finger. Let's review it. Mosley really doesn't show much passion. He's not, you know, he's not like Bobby Knight out there, which is good. But he started yelling, "You're right, let's review it," and they got the call overturned. I like that play, Phillip, because it shows, all right, we're all on the same page, and Mosley's going to fight for his players. Do you feel that way as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I'll say this, like, to your point, Mosley is not Bobby Knight out there. Like, no. Like something that I've always admired about him is his poise and composure on the court. So when he's angry, you know it's something serious. Like, you have to be a little bit of a psychologist. You reserve your anger for moments when it's earned, when it's deserved. And you know, that was a moment where the Magic had this huge momentum-changing play. They needed anything that they could find to spark some life in them. And, you know, Isaac makes that play. He immediately called for a replay. Jamal Mosley was already at half court signaling for the replay too. Like, he's like, "No, I got you there. Like, you're absolutely right." You know, that was a moment where the Magic needed a spark, and they found one. And they played a little bit better after that. They obviously didn't come back to win. But they played a little bit better after that. And so, you know, Mosley does have a very good pulse on this team. And again, is always kind of in their corner. May not be in the throw your hands up, yell at the refs kind of way, although he does yell at the refs plenty. Everyone knows that he's going to back them and be there for their growth and development too.
Phillip Ross and Reich, what happened in that loss against Indiana?
You know, it's tough. You know, I think some of it is Indiana really wanted to win that game. You know, and again, I don't want to get into like who wants it more. I think Orlando really wanted to win that game too, but Indiana just had this extra edge to them, and they played their best defensive game of the season. And that happens in the NBA. I know Indiana is one of the worst defensive teams in the league, but they played their best defensive game of the season. You can look up the numbers. It's true. That happens. You know, sometimes you catch a team on a night when they're just totally locked in and you're not. But I do think that there's something a little bit more to it. You know, I think teams are starting to figure out, you know, teams already know that if you clog the paint with Orlando, they don't have a lot of guys who are going to attack. And, you know, I thought Cole Anthony had the most interesting quote after the game. He said, you know, "We've been going through this winning stretch. We've been playing, you know, these teams lower than us in the standings and taking care of our business. We've gotten a little comfortable. And these two games, the game Friday against New York and the game against Indiana, they were allowed to play very physically. They were allowed to bump cutters and to swipe at the ball. And you could tell the Magic just were uncomfortable from the jump. They were just not prepared for the physicality that they were going to see. And it took them a long time to adjust. And obviously, down Jalen Suggs, especially because he just sets the physical tone for this team, the Magic just really they couldn't get comfortable outside their comfort zone. And so I think that was the big lesson from these past few games that were very big, obviously, against very good opponents. But the Magic have to understand that they got to take their game up to another level. And this weekend, they really struggled to do that.
Are you still optimistic about this team, even after those two bad performances?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still optimistic. You know, it's frustrating because those are kind of the last status checks we have before the playoffs. You know, there's some difficult games coming up during the homestand. You know, the Magic will see the Pelicans, the Kings, the Warriors, the Clippers, all four games in a row. And that'll be another good status check of like, okay, how ready is this team for quality teams, for playoff teams? You know, the way their schedule's set up, we understood that they were going to face a very favorable schedule down the stretch, and they wouldn't have a lot of these kinds of games, these kind of humongous games with huge standings implications against their direct competition. The Magic do not play another playoff opponent until the Pelicans next Thursday. They don't play another team in the Eastern Conference playoff picture until the Bulls on April 7th. That's the penultimate home game. The Magic schedule is set up for them to pick up a lot of wins. So I'm so optimistic that they're going to avoid the play-in. I'm very optimistic they'll avoid the play-in. They'll be that 4-5-6 range. I'm fairly optimistic they'll be at least the 5 seed because of the way their schedule sets up. They've got to take care of their business, obviously, to do that. But when they get to the playoffs, what this weekend showed is that it's going to be a very different game. And the Magic are going to have to learn how to play that different style and step up to the plate. They've never had to do that before. And this weekend, obviously, they kind of failed that test.
Does Anthony Black have to be a big contributor of this team down the stretch run here?
You know, that depends on whether Markel Fultz is healthy or not. You know, I think Anthony Black is kind of in and out of the rotation right now, depending on how healthy players are. I think that there will be a role for him in the playoffs. There's going to be a playoff game where maybe Fultz just doesn't have it, or, you know, his lack of spacing and shooting is just killing the team. And the Magic are going to throw Anthony Black in there for 5 minutes just to see what happens, just because they need to fill those minutes and they need at least someone who's willing to shoot, which AB has been very willing to shoot this year and has been surprisingly a strong shooter this year. That's going to happen. Down the stretch of the season, though, I think that the Magic are still going to be very careful with his minutes. You know, if there's a player that represented to me how the Magic looked this weekend, it's Anthony Black. He just looked very overwhelmed. I thought he did a good job early on against Jalen Brunson on Friday, but Brunson hit a couple tough shots, and you could just see his head drop, and you could just see him on offense just not being aggressive and willing to take the shot or to look for his own shot. Like, he wanted to get rid of the ball quickly. A lot of these kids are going to have to grow up very, very fast here in the next month, and especially when they get to the playoffs.
What is going on with Fultz?
He's going to play tonight. He took a really bad fall at the end of the game against the Knicks. You know, he's obviously dealing with the right knee injury that he's been dealing with all season. But, you know, he took a really bad hit against the Knicks. And so I think the Magic held him out Sunday just sort of as a precaution, like just give him the extra days to get healthy, to get right. You know, we talked to Jalen Suggs this morning at shoot-around, and Jalen obviously missed the game against the Knicks and the Pacers, and that really killed him. But, you know, I asked him, how much are you and the team balancing? Like, hey, yes, these games and every game the Magic play the rest of the way is important, but you also want guys healthy for April. How much are you balancing that? And he's like, yeah, you know, this was a little thing. You know, he might have been able to play through it, but it was a little thing. Better to take care of it now. Better to be fully healthy now and then ready for the playoffs in April than have something lingering that could potentially slow him down for those really important games in the playoffs. So, you know, there's just a lot of maintenance and preparation to just make sure guys are healthy and that they're at their best the longest that they can be.
We're here with Phil Rosenreich, Orlando Magic Daily. All right, you look at the Pacers and the Knicks, and you were breaking down both those games with the losses for the Magic. I feel like both those teams have all-star guards. The Magic don't on this current roster. I like the guards on this team, but I think that's where they're going to get in trouble moving forward if they get into a playoff chase. Jalen Brunson is an MVP type player right now for the Knicks. Halliburton is a stud. The Magic don't have that right now on the roster. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I absolutely feel that way. And this weekend, especially with how slow and not even methodical, just how slow the Magic's offense looked and disorganized the Magic's offense looked, they need a point guard. Like, I know a lot of people have feelings about Markel Fultz, and, you know, I think most Magic fans appreciate him as a person, but I think everyone understands he's not the right guy for this team necessarily, but he organizes a team. The reason why he keeps playing and why he's still in rotation is he sets everyone up. He knows how to control the pace of the game, and the Magic are missing a point guard. You know, Jalen Suggs approximates it a little bit and does a better job at it than most players on this roster, but they really missed even having him to organize the team over the weekend. You know, I think if Jalen Suggs plays in both those games, just because of his defense alone, those are very different games. You know, Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Brunson would have been his assignment. And, you know, Suggs is going to be an all-defensive team player this year. He's going to be on one of the all-defensive teams for sure. But the Magic definitely do need some more help from their guards. You know, Caleb Houston and Anthony Black just didn't give the Magic enough. In their stints. Gary Harris, is not a creator himself. They need some boost from the guards, and I think that's where they're going to spend a lot of their offseason energy, is shoring up their guard rotation, and especially shoring up the starting guard rotation, so that they're ready for these playoff games in the end.
Are you getting mentally prepared for playoffs? Because I know you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, it's like my calendar, I'm looking ahead to April. I'm like, okay, NFL draft, baseball will be back. We really haven't had playoffs. So are you mentally getting ready for this?
I am definitely mentally getting ready for this. You know, I've got I'm updating the standings every evening. I'm watching scoreboards already. Like, it's that time of year, and it's been a while for this team. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see kind of the marquee matchups. Like, the reason why we put a lot of emphasis on this weekend was it felt like a playoff weekend. And that game in New York felt like a playoff game. It was officiated like a playoff game. It was played like a playoff game. This team got a taste of the playoffs up at the Garden, and, you know, it took them back a little bit. You know, it's better experience that now than in game one and be like, oh, and game one's going to be different than that, even that. But the playoffs are coming. They're going to be here sooner than we think. This team is in a position, obviously, to set themselves up to be very successful for the playoffs. And I would urge Magic fans, come to the Kia Center during this homestand. Make those games, especially those four middle games that I talked about during the homestand, make those games feel like playoff games, so that the team knows what energy boost they're going to get from their home crowd if they can get home court advantage, because that could matter.
Yes.
But it's definitely on the way, and the games are getting more physical. It feels like the officials are already calling games like playoff games right now. If you're watching around the league and hearing some of the discussion around the league, but it's that time. It's getting there, and it's very exciting.
All right, here's how I'm critical of the Magic, and I want to get your take. I love Paolo Banchero. I think he is a unicorn out there, but I don't want to put all of it on him. Where there are stretches, there's no guard help. So then he has to be the point guard out there, and then he has to try to do everything. Then Franz is helping him. Like, I feel like you got to give him some help, and don't put everything on Paolo. And I know he wants to be the man, but it's like you this has got to be a team effort. That's how I look at this team. That's where they get in trouble sometimes with this basketball team.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. You know, I like that they're experimenting a lot with Paolo and Franz as the main initiators, because what makes this team unique is they have two guys who are 6'10" who can handle the ball like guards and pass the ball like guards. Like, that, they know that's what makes them unique, but they absolutely need help. Like, you know, getting, you know, and that's why I would say, like, the biggest thing the Magic have to find this summer is a point guard. Like, I love Jalen Suggs. I think he slots in really well as a two, and they can have multiple guys who can handle the ball. So they don't need like a Chris Paul type point guard who's going to have the ball in his hand all the time, or a Trae Young type point guard who needs the ball in his hands all the time. You know, they need someone who can just organize and space the floor, but they need someone that can get the ball to Paolo Banchero in his favorite spots. You know, give him the ball without having to use a dribble. And, you know, it's hard to score when you're always dribbling the ball. And you can see Paolo's trying to figure it out on the fly. Like, so much of the Magic's problems still are they're way too young, and they don't know what they're doing yet. And they're trying to figure it all out on the fly. And so they make mistakes. And the Magic they'll probably need to give them some space to make those mistakes because they're just so young, but they need to make their lives easier. And, you know, everything the Magic do from here on out has to be done with the thought of how can we make Paolo Banchero's life easier? How can we make Franz Wagner's life easier? Because they're really great players. We can use them in a ton of different ways, but we need to be able to get them easy shots so they can boost their scoring, boost their confidence, make the defense double and trap them, and then they'll make the right decisions to find open shooters, and we'll make them pay for leaving shooters open. Right now, the Magic can't really do that last part. You know, teams can double and trap them and not worry about the shooting as much, and that's the next evolution for the Magic for sure.
We're here with Phil Rosenreich, Orlando Magic Daily, and I just want to say this. I know I've been critical in this conversation, but, you know, that win against the Hornets last week, that was very exciting from the standpoint of I've been watching this team for the last decade or so, and there's been a lot of bad losses and losing streaks. And you could just tell off the eye test, Phillip, they are better. Like, this, things are starting to click, and this does get exciting. And I just want to make sure if they get in the playoffs, they're ready to put up a fight. Like, that's what gets me excited.
And to that point, you know, being critical of them is fine because that means they have gotten better. So to have all these criticisms, to be thinking about all these things, is the surest sign that they are a better team. You know, we have raised our expectations on them. We want them not only to make the playoffs, which is a success in its own, but to compete and be competitive and show us that, you know, not only are, you know, the last time the Magic went to the playoffs in 2020 and 2019, they were a flash in the pan. Like, yes. We all kind of understood that unless Aaron Gordon became a super-duper star, which he probably wasn't going to be, that was probably always a pipe dream, that team had a huge ceiling on them. This year's team does not have a ceiling on them. It feels like this is the start of something, and they're going to continue to get better. So now we just want to see, okay, what is that pathway to get better? That's what they need to see this year. And getting swept will teach them a lot. If they get swept, it'll teach them a lot, but it's not going to inspire a ton of confidence, although I would mention the 2007 Magic and Dwight Howard's first playoff appearance also got swept in the first round, so not the end of the world. But, you know, this Magic team needs to show us that this is not just one fun season. This is the start of a long playoff run, and we all suspect that it is, but that's what they have to show us over the next month.
Who they got tonight at the Kia Center?
They're taking on the Brooklyn Nets, one of the teams that has had the Magic number. You mentioned one of the ways this team has grown. The Magic, I believe, are 22-6 in games against teams with records below 500. Like I mentioned, they're going to play a lot of those teams down the stretch here. Three of those losses are to Atlanta. One of them is to Memphis, and two are to Brooklyn from very early in the season, that in-season tournament game back in November, and then the streak-busting game that was on a bad back-to-back in December. That was a schedule loss. Magic beat the Nets by 27 a couple weeks ago, so I'm sure Brooklyn will come into this game very fired up. They're playing a little bit better as well. They've got Cam Thomas back, so it'll be a fun one at the Kia Center as the Magic try to bounce back from the two losses this weekend.
If I go to this Pelicans game next week, is Zion going to play? Because I've tried multiple times.
Please. I mean, Zion's played one regular season game against the Magic in his career.
I have tried multiple times to see Zion.
He should be playing. He's playing right now as far as I know.
We'll see. Phil Rosenreich, my man, thank you so much for your help and have a great day.
Thank you very much, man.